You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah and chapter 44. And we ought to be reminded and refreshed in the light of God's wonderful person and how he works and when he works and what he does. So therefore, we want to be reminded, 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me? Who's going to do that? No one. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and that shall come, let them show them unto them. Who can predict, who can handle tomorrow and the future? Verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid, for I have told thee from that time, and have declared it, ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. So, God, you are totally in charge of the clock and the calendar. Over to verse chapter 46. And in 46, please, picking up, if I can, in verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. What makes you so different, God? Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, old times, the things that are not yet done, they haven't even happened. Saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. God's going to do what he does, when he does it, as he chooses to do it, in his wisdom and mercy and grace. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, go over back over to Jeremiah, and in chapter 2. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, you would recall, as we did all these things, verse 13. I'll read verse 12 a little bit to tell. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. What is it that so would upset heaven, that would make heaven so disturbed? Verse 12, verse 13, for reason, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, the source, and they've substituted, hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns in the ground, etc., that can go and hold water. So they're trying to do, using all the natural things apart from God to survive without God. And therefore, sliding down the light of all of it to verse 25. Israel, then, withhold thy foot from thy being unshod and thy throat from thirst. But, in other words, instead of being a wild donkey, wild female donkey, in the middle of the, out in the woods looking for some people, men. But, verse 25, the middle. But thou sayest, God says, back off, relax, stop what you're doing. Now what do they say? Verse 25, there is no hope. There is no hope. We're in pursuit, we're in hot pursuit out there for the satisfaction of our own ego and everything else. physically, and we're out there. Then there's no hope. There's no sense in telling me to make this go away, to adjust it, to correct, to see it. What's the problem? Verse 25. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. So I'm not going to quit idolatry. I'm not going to stop idolatry. I'm going to keep holding on to it. I'm going to go. It may be a piece of rotten wood in the middle of the ocean, but I don't intend to let go of that rotten wood. I don't intend to look for anything else. I'm hanging on. I'm going for what I'm going for, regardless of the consequences. Now, having said that, there's no hope, no hope. And therefore, what we think we're trusting in, what we're trusting in, how we trust things. So we want to just keep in mind afresh, if you were a genuine communist in mind and heart, what would you know? There is no future. There is no God. What you know is that we're here, and the whole purpose of communism is to make the world, the whole government system work as we are living on planet Earth. So what would be your future expectancy, future as a communist? Just more communism. Older, more communism. What are you going to look for? There's nothing. Actually, there's nothing to look for. So, and if I was a Muslim looking at Allah, etc., and that's our same thing, we're looking to conquer the world, and that's what we're doing. We go and pay the price and do whatever we do, and we do all that in order that, what? That Allah and the will of Allah will take place and bring about Islam for the whole Muslim, Islam for the whole world. And that's what we do. That's what we do as a life. If I was a French, German, person, Spain, wherever you want to go, what would I know? I would know what? That in the process of it all, I have socialism. And if I have socialism, what's my future? Well, if I just have socialism, that's all I have, communism, socialism, etc. If that's all I have no future. I have nothing. I don't have any future, no more than the communists do. So all I can do is keep hoping things work out and do that. So us humans then, and going back to anybody, regardless of your communism, socialism, or whatever it is, what are we doing? We're going to keep living, and we're going to have hope, a future. How is our hope? Well, our hope, went realistically, when you're going to come down right down to it, our hope isn't for communism, socialism, all that. It isn't anywhere else. We can add religion to it and try to have a little something to think about. But that really isn't hope, because it can't work. If it isn't real and it isn't true, it isn't so. It isn't so. So all of it, Mormonism, whatever you want, if it isn't so, it isn't so. So therefore, in looking at us humans really don't have, all we're looking forward to is, to say it more quickly and dramatically, if you were in Afghanistan, if you know what's going on a little bit, and the news, and they just said it in the news, that we have no assurity that we can help over 13,000 or more Americans, let alone anyone else, to help them. They're all blocked by communism from getting, by Islam, getting to the airport, and they can't get to the airport, and we have no hope of ever getting you out. And if you stay, what do you know? That's what you know. Remember other places in the past? They sent them all up to the hill and got rid of them. Now, so what future do they have, do you think? If you were there, how was their future? How are they seeing it, feeling it? The children, the whatever, the wives, the men left the women and everything else. Yeah, the process. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of that hope. And remember, the problem is that we're caught up. Israel, I'm saying all of that because they said there's no hope, but our pursuits are going to keep us. So each age, each year that goes by in a person's life, their years go by, and you're pursuing what you did at 20. Now you've changed somewhat to 30 and then 40, et cetera, et cetera. And your pursuits are different. They change. And as they change, where are they going? They change. But apart from something else, what hope, what anticipation, what surety, expectancy can you possibly have of tomorrow to propel you powerfully forward? There just isn't any. There just isn't any. That's all. So we have a hope. Now I'm looking at Israel to tell me, why do people think like that? Why do they hang on to that which is hopeless? They're hoping, they're hopeless, but they're hoping all the while they're hopeless. Why do people do that? So now, here's Jeremiah to help us understand a little bit in the process. So, in the process, Ezekiel chapter 13. Remember Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all looking at Israel, etc. Jeremiah and Ezekiel in that at time, same historic time. Ezekiel chapter 13. Chapter 13, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 6, saying, here's the false prophet. Now, I'm trying to answer what we're looking for. I want to understand what makes a human being keep going, when actually there is nothing assuring, but they have to keep hoping. What makes them not fix it? What makes them not search and respond to something better? Chapter 13, and Israel, verse 4, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge of the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Verse 6. They have seen vanity, lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope. In other words, we're trying to get everybody to join the club. I'm hoping, I'm a prophet, I'm telling you what I believe. I want you to hope like I do. I want you to follow me, religion, people, etc. Why do we need people? To support our theory, to support our feelings. If we're all alone in our feelings, that's not good. But if we can get other people to feel like we do, that supports us. So, in verse 6, at the end, the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. And verse 7. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. So here we are looking. Here's Israel, sliding down to verse 11. Say unto them which dub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fail. There shall be an ever overflowing shower. And ye, O great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. In other words, there's no really way out of this. They're giving you an information that can go nowhere at all. So in the process, Ezekiel, and you know, we don't have to, you're right next to it, chapter 14. The problem, chapter 14, verse 3 alone, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, should I be inquired of them at all? Should I listen to them? And the problem is, it's just a heart problem. You're thinking what you want to think. You're feeling what you want to feel, and you're going to go, you're trusting what you want to trust in, all of which cannot save and cannot give you any hope. So therefore, our human anticipation, expectation, is for the future, is we have it, people use it, but not much. Not much. We use the word hope. We're hoping things work out in Afghanistan. We're hoping things work out here and there, etc. We're hoping. And so, but we never get to God. We don't get to God. So therefore, our future, all our thoughts and all our dreams and aspirations have no assurance. They have no assurance at all. And they're all earthbound, limited. All they can never get up past the ceiling. What we want, what we like, what we'd wish for. Jeremiah chapter 17. So Israel just isn't interested in fixing anything. They're listening. That's what we're doing now. We're listening to the prophets out there telling us about the virus. We're listening to them telling all the different things. One minute says one thing, another says another thing, and all over the place, and who's following who, who's listening to whom, etc. So chapter 13, is it Jeremiah? Chapter 17. Chapter 17, Jeremiah, and verse 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And therefore they have not looked to God. God is the hope. God is the expectancy. God is the surety. But they aren't doing it. Now to make it worse, what do people do? To keep staying in the same mindset about their future, about their life. Go down to verse 15. And in verse 15, behold, they say unto me, what were they saying to God? Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Now you're going to say, it isn't a question they know about God. It isn't a question of that. It's a question, where is the promise of his coming? Where is this going to happen? How can God save anybody? All the words we say, well, God, show us. That's what they wanted, isn't it? The only sign he said I'll give you is the sign of my resurrection, because you're all unbelieving. You want to live on signs. You want to live in, but you don't want to believe one of them. No matter what sign I give you, if I had them all rise up from the dead, and he did at his resurrection for a little bit, what did it do? Nothing. Nothing. So God said, it isn't going to, you got a heart problem. It's a heart problem. So therefore, see it again over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. And that's right in the middle of the context of one we keep in mind. Isaiah and chapter 5. And you will notice, please, in chapter 5, same, what do we want? Show us. Give us a sign. Help us. It isn't that we aren't stupid. Show us something. Verse 19. Let's say, I'll read verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart of rope. In other words, they're pulling, carrying, carting, transporting unbelief. Verse 19. Let's say, let him make speed, let God make speed, and hasten his work. Show me, God, what you can do, that we may see it. That's the whole point. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. In other words, please show us something. Show us something. Show us a lightning bolt. Show us something. And we already reminded ourselves. God said, I know the end from the beginning. Well, God, if you know the end from the beginning, why don't you show us something? Why don't you do something? But God doesn't do it. Because it isn't, we aren't looking to honor God, we're looking to refute him. And remember, you don't have to turn there in Psalm 78 and 19, what did they do in the wilderness? God would have provided everything. God provided the water, God provided the food. And then they still said, after God did that, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Remember, Psalm 78, 19. Can God do that?
No.
But David, what did you know? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What did the unbelieving heart know? Can they say, can God do that? You see? That's what they're doing. And so why do people don't get their future? Why don't they get this fixed in their brain? Because they don't want to. And they want to hang in there because they don't want to. What's the problem? It's the problem with God, which we hit a little bit Sunday night. Now, having said that, and having that, so here's all humanity doing what it does, the way it does. It's Jeremiah 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, people do what you think, what they think, and believe what they want to believe. That's what they do. That's what we're doing. People believe all kinds. So God said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? Because everyone believes. They believe something. Everyone's believing something. That's how our behavior is the result of our believing. Whatever we're believing, that's how we behave. You know what I believe, but how I behave. So we all have belief. But so what's the problem? Belief doesn't make anything true. It doesn't make anything real. It doesn't make anything right. So belief, if we're trusting our belief, that's the trouble. There are believers that are trusting their belief and can't enjoy being saved because they're trusting what they said or something else. And they can't do that. That isn't why you get saved. You get saved because you receive Christ as your Savior. So therefore, here's in chapter 23, picking up, if I may, over in verse 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you, that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. They are not of not out of the mouth of the Lord. Verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me. What are they telling everybody? Lord, the Lord hath said. They have no idea what the Bible says, what God has said, but they're saying it. That's why they get their message across. It's the right thing to do scientifically and medically, but that's what we use. We don't say it evilly or bad in a bad way. So therefore, in chapter 7, verse 17, thus they say unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace, but he didn't. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. That's not true. But see, they're saying it. And so if we're the public in whatever part of the world we're in, whatever our culture is, our background, we're picking up and we're going with whatever's going on, however it's going on, that's what we're doing. And so therefore, our hope. What is our hope? Well, we don't have any hope, really, because we're trusting whatever we're trusting that has no hope at all. It has no reality to it. It has no truth to it. So therefore, instead of trusting God, we're trusting what people say, what people think. And you have the same problem today, dramatically, more so than ever, with our government and all the stuff that's being said. and all over the place. And it's awful hard to get this thing straight because no one's letting it get straight. That's why you got an Afghanistan problem. Because they don't want to say things, do things, but they have no connection to the reality of how things have to be. Just do them. Just do them. Someone said to me, what we need to do is have compounds like Cuba did, and other countries have. So if you aren't vaccinated, you go into compound. And we'll keep you all in the compound. Harness you in the compound because you aren't like us. Oh, wow, that's a dumb. Dumb, that's what we're doing. We listen to things, we follow things, we dream about things. But we have no hope. That's the point. When we're all done with the playing of gym, with our managing and manipulating in our mind and heart, we just have nothing. After we're all done, we got nothing. Nothing left. And we're sitting there in fear and trembling about one thing or another. And the stress problem is becoming very stressful. And we don't even know it because it's so rapid and so encompassing and so everywhere, it seems. So it's awful hard to not get away from it. So unless it's being said to us like the prophets said to us all over the place, the media and everything else, big tech and all of that. Now, having said that, verse 20, the anger of the Lord shall not return till he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. In other words, you don't believe, you want a sign? Here's the lightning bolt coming down. Okay? You don't believe the earth is going to open up? The earth opens up. You don't believe it's going to let all those people die? There they are. You don't believe it's going to happen. You don't have to worry. You'll see it, and you won't tell me anymore, I don't believe, because it's going to happen, even in soon coming. Now, having said that, verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. And so they're giving the message, and the message is endless. We're hearing it all over the place. And it's hard to get away from it. The newspaper, current, all that stuff. It's endless. Endless. The count, everything else, how many, whatever. And they are, it isn't even accurate. It isn't even taken practically and with understanding. So therefore, we get all of that kind of stuff going on all over the place. So therefore, God and his word, what are we doing with them? So therefore, God, we've got to go to you and look to your word, and God has to help us. And in the process of doing that, chapter 23, if I can, and in verse 28. And you remember when we did all these things, coming back to them, but remember a little bit. God never sent them, but they were saying. Now what happens? I said, here's my tissue. The tissue is blue. But I want you, well, what are you going to do? You're all going to respond. The tissue is blue. It isn't blue, but we're going to say it's blue, and that's what we're going to go with. We're going to say it. Now, remember we just read, the prophets were saying, God said it's blue. God never said that was blue. But we're going to give God, our authority is going to be, God said this is blue. So we're all going to have to say, well, if we're going to believe God, even though we think it's white, it's blue. Believe God, that's what the prophets say. So, having said that, now what just happens? Are we going to believe God, or are we going to believe the system of the world, system with all of its words and ways and thoughts? And therefore, chapter 23, over to verse 28. The prophets that hath a dream let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? In other words, the wheat is good, the waste chaff is no good. Verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And so they steal. Verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, they that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So they aren't letting anyone, the people, the leadership everywhere is what? Telling blue, and they should have said white. And they're giving everybody a lie, and everybody's ending up saying blue, 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 when it's white. That's what they're doing. And where are they going to get hope? They don't have any hope. They're caught in the system. And so what we do is, well, it's blue, everyone blue. Yay for the blue. It isn't blue. But then we go on to another year, another month, another problem, and we keep rolling through, and we end up in Afghanistan. After all these years. The conditions right now in Afghanistan. All of a sudden. How did it happen? How does the tribulation happen? Oh, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. And then what? It's not all right. It's not all right. That's when they go, chapter 6, etc. What are they going to do? They're going to hide under rocks from the wrath of God. Hide. What? They're no more playing games anymore. No, no, not at all. So we have hope. They have no hope. So in the prime, 33, well, moving over quickly, the whole section is wonderful. That God said, I don't want any of you prophets or any of you people listening, I don't want you to say blue, using the tissue. I don't want you to say blue. Everyone, don't you say blue when that's white. That's what he said. I want you all to shut up. How's that? Don't listen to prophets. Don't listen to anybody. White is white. Blue is blue. He tells them that as you read. And then what are they going to do? Instead, I don't want anyone to say their own thoughts about what they think this is. You're deceiving the people and leading them astray. Therefore, verse 39. But you, since ye say, the burden of the Lord, that's what they were saying, this is the word of the Lord, it's blue. The burden of the Lord, therefore, thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, you and I have sent unto that, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. I don't want to hear it anymore. Verse 39. Therefore, behold, even I, will utterly forget you. I will forsake you, and the city that I give you, and your fathers, and cast you out in my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgiven. So therefore, well, are we going to shut up? God said, shut up, I don't want to hear it anymore. But they didn't shut up. They didn't shut up. And Nebuchadnezzar leveled the city and the people and slaughtered them. Wow. That's what happened, because they had no hope. No hope. So therefore, the next part of this that is goes with our beginning in Isaiah, we don't have time for. So, no hope. The hope of the hopeless is zero. I don't know what your hopes are. I hope they're all straight. What do you know if you know the Lord as your Savior? Christ in you, the Colossians 1:27. Colossians, in you, Christ in you, the hope. So where's the hope? It's in a person. Where's the person? In you. Where's your hope? It's not in your feelings. It's not in your fears. It's not in the system. It's not in the aging. It's not in the philosophy, the thinking of anybody, anywhere. The reason you have wonderful, consistent hope is because God in Christ is your hope. That's your future. Where is your future? Your walk with you walk with him. Walk in faith and not by sight. We walk with him. We're walking with our future until he comes. A little exercise, quickly, you know it. Romans chapter 5. What do you know about hope? You have to have it exercised. You have to listen to all the junk and all the stuff that's all over the place and make a decision. Is that based on God? Based on God's wonderful future person? God has condemned the world system, so I don't need to look at anything in the world system to justify it. There's nothing the world system can justify its existence. It's an existence under the God of this world, the devil himself. So you can't justify the world system. God has condemned it. Just plain old condemned it. So we aren't looking for anyone, fact, faith, feelings, whatever, faith and feelings, what I should say, our feelings and our fears. We aren't looking for that. No, we aren't. Nope. Our hope is set in God. We're going to have to keep living in the midst of everything. That's true. But we aren't trusting it. And we aren't communist, having nothing. We aren't socialist, anything Islamic, anything. No, we're believers in the living and only God. And therefore, chapter 5 of Romans, you notice, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, whereby we stand and rejoice in. What are we rejoicing in? We aren't rejoicing in our power. We aren't rejoicing in anything. We're rejoicing in our hope. That's the surety you have. That's the surety. Rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And not only we glory in tribulations, and knowing that tribulation works patience. We have to keep hanging in there under the day, under the week, under the problems. Verse 3, and patience, bearing and hanging in there, produces an experience, a wonderful learning process. That's how we learn. If you get a new job or you have something you have to learn, you keep learning it and you keep doing it. And pretty soon you get pretty good at it and you get pretty comfortable with something because you keep doing it and you feel real good about it because you can do it and you know how to do it. And you keep growing and growing and learning and doing. That's what you do. That's it, what you do. That's how we learn. We get out of bed today and go to bed, get out of bed tomorrow and do the next thing. And each time we're looking at the news is horrible going on and isn't going to get any better. No, because it's all good. It's all good. Wow. But our hope isn't there in the news. Our hope isn't in our family. Hope isn't in our job. Hope isn't in how people like us or don't like us. Hope isn't in whether I have enough everything. It isn't a question of that. That isn't where my hope is. They can take it all away. Take it all away and come, cut off my head. But you can't take that hope away. You can't take it away. It isn't yours. My hope is God in Christ. And no one dare touch that. No one touched that. And they never will. And as long as you exercise and enjoy that, that will be your assurance and confidence that comes. Because who's going to touch my hope? Who's going to change my hope? Now, having said that, and verse 4, experience, that produces hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Verse 5, why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. What can separate us from the love of God? Zero. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God, you did a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we have to learn it. That's how you have hope. You aren't going to be real confident in learning something that you're just doing or experiencing. You have to keep doing it. And you keep doing it and you learn. You experience living. You experience going to bed, getting out of bed, walking, talking, coming, going, reading, writing, arithmetic. You keep doing it. That's how you learn. And you get more comfortable. Well, that's how you're going to learn to trust God. You have another day. God gives it to you. And we can't get into it now, but we would have got into it. A God in his wonderful plan is working out huge movements in the light of history, where he's going. And so here's all these little people down here, but God is moving. Heaven, earth, angels, all kinds of things, moving them, positioning, allowing things to happen, which he is now in Syria and all of it. Letting all of these things happen. Why? That's God. God's moving in that. So God, that's huge. What about us little people down here? You say, here we are in Afghanistan, make believe. And we're there in the middle of the crowd. We can't get through the ISIS. The bad guys are blocking us from getting anywhere. And we know we've been tagged. We aren't good guys. They're going to get us as soon as they're ready. So we can't get out. We can't get through. God, we're caught. But as a believer, we're not caught. In the world, we're caught. In the light of a godless, unbelieving heart, we're caught. But in the light of a believing, God-fearing heart, you're not caught. So you can do what you want. Now, having said that, over to chapter 15 in closing. So therefore, we got to go through what we do, and the people going through far worse than us, to say the least. And you recall, when it comes to hope, God is our hope in Christ. And where are we going to find that an understanding of how to handle hope? In the Scriptures, chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, which we've been reading, were written for our learning, which we're seeking to do, that we, through patience, bearing up under the load, patience and comfort, we're encouraged to keep on. Why do we hang in there? Because the outworking of experience produces hope. We keep going through everything. That's what we do. And God, we're going to go, and comfort's going to be there. The comfort of the Scriptures keeps us going, encouraging, looking unto Jesus, keep going forward. And the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And now the God of patience, bearing up under the, and consolation, comfort, hope, grant unto you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. So we are very, very hopeful believers, and we ought to be encouraging one another, not with a system. We ought to encourage one another with God's wonderful expectation that he could come at any time and that we're looking for him. And that's what he's going to do. And verse 13 again. Now the God of hope, in whom, in God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Got to be believing. That you may be abound. They're going to be overflowing in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is, God is very, we just did it Sunday in the Tree of Trinity. God is going to go and honor God in Christ, the Father. He's going to go. And the Spirit of God's going to, is God, everything's set. He knows the future. Who's in charge of the future? He is. Who knows the future? He does. Who does anything? God does. Who's going to say they did it? You can say prophets and predict and write and do everything you want. But when it's all done, God calls the shots. God calls the shots. And that's wonderful. So why? The trouble is, we believe the world doesn't want to have hope. The hope they have is hopeless. They don't mind that because they don't even think about it that way. If you were in a problem, think of, again, Afghanistan, a people that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, what would you be thinking? Knowing you're tagged. Knowing if you can't get out of there, you're dead. What would you be thinking? You see. But we, believers, here we are, God, we have hope. But we want to understand why people don't have hope, because they keep hanging on to the driftwood. They keep hanging on to the stuff that isn't going to go anywhere. They keep hanging on to opinions, their birth, their family, their love. I love my wife. I love this. And that's not going to, what's that going to do for you? It's not going to save you. It's not going to help you. It's just a hope you have. But it ain't going to go anywhere.